How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for our new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, Thursday edition, mid-afternoon edition. Heck with work, let's talk a little Jazz basketball edition of Facebook Live, midday special Thursday edition. It is Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Glad to have you with us. Three notes for you. I've been doing a bunch of programming recently. One, I did Nate Duncan's show, Dunked on Basketball, for a Jazz season preview. That'll be up. I did Josh Lloyd's Locked On Fantasy Basketball for a Jazz preview. That'll be up. I just did a really cool conversation with Ben DuBose, who's Locked On Rockets, about what it's like to be living in Houston during Harvey. So that's going on. That's what we've got going for you. And we are live on Facebook right now for Locked On Jazz. So, and I'm typing that for just get everybody to know. So that's the plan. I don't have a bunch of millions of things to talk about. I evidently was completely wrong about the leverage on the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas deal, as that seems to be the case that really, I guess, Cleveland wanted that deal done badly enough. They didn't have any leverage, and they just got a second-round draft pick out of it, and they didn't get a whole deal made out of that one. So I guess I was completely off base in that regard. To what I thought was going to, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I did think that Cleveland like had all the leverage, and it sure seems though Boston held strong, and that deal is finally done. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Good people over there. Rob Taylor, not Rob Thomas, Rob Taylor, for those of you who know that kind of joke that over the past period of time, I keep calling him the lead singer of Matchbox 20. He's a huge cyclist. He listens to Locked On Jazz while he's biking. Did you know, by the way, that you can listen to Locked On Jazz now through Alexa or through your Google Home? I have the Google Home there, and I have Alexa there. So Alexa's probably freaking out because she keeps hearing her name. Yeah, there it is right there. She started talking about that. Nonetheless, by the way, I want to tell you, Shamrock Auto Group brings you the Facebook Live editions of the program. Rob and his crew are good people. I need you to tell me, by the way, I was talking to someone the other day who was telling me, oh, they were from Grip 6 Bike, and they were Grip 6 Belts, and they were telling me about how they went down there and got a car at Shamrock, and Rob always just pulling my legs saying he's not getting all these leads. I know he's getting leads. Don't let him sucker me into this. Anyway, hey, they've been in business for 80 years, combined experience of everyone around there. They've got, and his buyer has been a technician for over 25 years. So when he's buying newly used cars, he's making sure that he's got the best. That's why he's got Brady Kimball and his group over there, a technician for over 25 years. They're a lean company, fewer employees, so they don't add on a bunch of extras. Read the reviews of Shamrock Auto Group if you want to know anything about them. They are amazingly loved by every single one of their customers. Out in Pleasant Grove, yeah, it seems so far away. Well, you know what? It's not that far away. If you're looking for a nearly used car, Shamrock Auto Group is not that far away. Why do I say that? Because a bunch of people from out of state are making their way to Pleasant Grove to buy from Shamrock because they've had such good experiences with them. And when you go to Shamrock, make sure you check out the Google reviews. Cars, 113 votes on cars.com, 5 for 5. The Google reviews say the exact same things. It's all Shamrock Auto Group. Check them out. They've got great inventory right now. They've got it nicely listed on their website if you want to check it out. It's 203 North, 2000 West on North Utah County Boulevard, Pleasant Grove, Utah. You can call them at 801-361-9796. If you have a specific car, they'll go find it for you. All right, I want to just get to the questions. I want this to be your show. You've broken away from work. You've stopped doing what you're supposed to be doing for the day to join on a mid-afternoon Thursday edition of Facebook live edition. So, do you know, this is coming from Tyler, do you know how different ticket pricing will be this year? I used to be able to find $5 tickets on flash seats all the time. Now that there's a different platform, is this stuff no longer possible? I would think you're talking open market. That's all based on supply and demand. Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, 1776. Which document written in 1776 was most impactful to the world? Well, you didn't have that? Like, you didn't have some obnoxious history professor that made you write that article? Or write that paper? I did. Clearly, I did. What's the other one written in 1776? Please don't tell me you said that. Please don't. Don't tell me you just said that. I think that's a supply and demand issue. So, Tyler, I don't know about that. I will tell you, I've asked a bunch of people, how is your experience going to be different with the new Vivint Smart Home Arena? And what I'm hearing from people about that, I was out of town for the tour. First off, is that the minute you walk in, it's going to feel incredibly different. Just almost more important was kind of what somebody said to me. More spacious, more important, more as though you're at a really, really kind of high class place, I think was what kind of some people have said to me about it, is it's going to feel different the moment you walk into the building. Then if you're on, the food is going to be crazy different. Your food experience is going to be completely, completely different. Whether it's Chabasco's, which if you hadn't had before, is great. Whether it's R&R Barbecue, which is great. So all of those type of things are going to be very, very different. I'm smiling because one of the people I have, I think if you've watched our Facebook Live, my dear friend Shannon often sends me a little smiley across the way, and I smile and I laugh when she does that. She and I went to high school together. She turned me down for the prom. It's not like there's anything here. And so she just heard my joke about 1776, and it was probably Kent Holubar, by the way, Shannon, or it might have been Wells Wadley, but she just sent me in a little, we did. And let's all give Shannon a big thumbs up. Send the hearts and things to Shannon. Shannon needs a little thumbs up on hearts these days. She's battling the big C, and she's going to kick its ass, and we're rooting for you every day, love. All right, enough of that, because I'll get all, you know. You'll get it, kid. I know you will. Back to the arena. There's a good transition sentence, David. Food, crazy different. Flow of traffic, unbelievably different. Upper bowl, going to have this areas where you can go up and catch your food and so kind of have a social element to it. You used to be kind of boxed into your seat, and you could never get out and never get. So there'll be all the – it's just going to be a completely different feel to what you're going to experience as a fan in that arena from what I'm hearing. I'm really, really excited for it. So that will certainly be an interesting thing for you. Let's see. Hayward is going to be sorry he left. Okay, I guess. I mean, I think Gordon got what he wanted. He won national television, he won recognition, he wanted to be the story of the NBA. And he and Kyrie Irving are going to be the story of the NBA in Boston. And I think that's probably what. Hello from Dublin. Hello. How is Denver better when they lost Gallinari? Isn't that a loss of pack? From Derek Moody. And what is Favors' best pack year? I know the injuries, but I believe Favors can do it again. I'd have to go back and look on Favors' pack. It's a great question. Let me go with the first one. I actually brought this up at the end of my podcast today with Nate Duncan. I'm not as sold completely on this Denver love affair. Everyone's in love with Jokic, who is great. Okay, so he's great. But Gallinari was a 2.0 pack. And Paul Millsap last year was a negative 0.4 pack. Paul Millsap has slipped dramatically in the last 2 years. And he's 32 years old in February. I think he's already turned 32 years old. Maybe he's going to turn 32 this coming up February. 32. He's old. He's on the wrong side of this age game right now. So I'm not as completely sold on the Denver love affair that everybody else is having with this team. A lot of it's based on their young players and their growth. But so who, Gary Harris, who was really good last year, he's going to get better than 50% from the field and 42% from three? I have a hard time with that. And I don't know who these other young players everyone's talking about. I think Wilson Chandler probably has a better year. Jamal Murray should have a little bit of a better year in a second-year player in the league, but let's see. And Emmanuel Mounier's been terrible. So when I look at the Jazz, and the over-under came out the other day, and it's at 40.5, I'm not sure I can quibble with that because I'm not sure how we're going to score. But I'm not sure that I also, at the same time, am convinced that the Clippers and the Denver and that all these other people are going to be that much better than we are. One of these days, I will stop working as hard as I am on a bunch of my other projects, and I will do a pack for the entire Western Conference and maybe even Eastern Conference and see where I project teams offensively and see what happens with that. But I'm not on this Denver love affair with everybody. I think Jokic is great. His pack last year was a 2.2. He was just absolutely terrific. But they lost Gallinari, who's really good, really, really good. And it's interesting to me, well, people say, well, he was often injured. Okay, well, so is George Hill. So I do think there's a little bit, I think the Jazz are going to be better in, I don't know if the Jazz are going to be, it's going to be hard to score. So I think that is going to be part of it. But we'll see. Derek Favors, 12-13 year, which is still with Enes Kanter, his pack was league average. Pack, for those who do not know that are new to the program, is points above average created. It's my proprietary number system on how I judge offensive players. So points above average created. Favors was our number two pack player in the 13-14 year when we were terrible, with Richard Jefferson being the best. He was at 0.4. Going to the 14-15 season, which I believe was Favors' best, he was a 0.7 pack player. 15-16 season for Favors is a 0.3, and then last year was not a good pack year for Derek. And the question is obviously, is he going to be healthy? That was a huge part of my conversation with obviously both Josh Lloyd and Nate Duncan. I don't have an answer to that. Favors last year was a negative 0.8 pack player. Hello from Athens, Greece. Do you think the front office works out an extension with Rodney, and at what price? I talked to Nate about this. I think this is the most interesting story in the league. If I'm Rodney, all I want is an out after 3 years. If I'm negotiating and I'm Rodney Hood, all I would like is an out after 3 years. And then I'm taking a reasonable market value offer. I've not been paid yet the reasonable market value offer. So if I get offered, I mean, I don't know, 4 year, $50 million deal is probably 12 and a half. That might be he probably thinks that's low. So does he want a 4 year, $60 million deal at $15 million? So you're somewhere in there, right? So if the Jazz come in somewhere in that range, maybe not, maybe I'm underestimating, between 50 and 60, and I can get an out after 3 years. So in other words, if I click and I go nuts, I can get out of this contract in 3 years and go get my max deal while I'm not too old. I'm Rodney Hood. I'm signing it. I'm signing either any of those numbers. The thing on Rodney Hood that gets a little tricky, one, does he really want the pressure of being a free agent and having to deal with that? Two, do the Jazz know he can stay healthy? Does he know he can stay healthy? And three, he's 24. He turns 25 before the season. Well, on the second game in Minnesota is his 25th birthday. So he wants to make sure he's a free agent. Probably going in, he doesn't want to be a free agent going into 30. Going to 29, he's probably still okay. But you get much later in there, and people aren't going to want to do that deal. So he's got to make sure that he gets that out, right? And particularly the Jazz aren't going to max him out. And if I'm the Jazz, I'm not maxing out Rodney. Right now, he's a distinctly average offensive player. We're going to give him a huge opportunity. He's got huge upside. But right now, frankly, I think there's still a discussion on Rodney on his upside. Is he as great as – is he a go-to guy or is he a sixth man? Right? I think he could be anywhere in between on those things. So I'm certainly not going to be maxing out Rodney Hood if I'm the Utah Jazz, as much as I want to keep him and I'm a big fan of his in the process, because I don't know. I don't know those answers. How does Gobert, Udo, Favors, Jarebko, Johnson all get minutes at the 4 or 5? Feels like they all deserve to play. Well, we don't know if they all deserve to play. We don't know if Udo's any good. We don't know if Jarebko's still any good or if he's gotten old. So that's nice of you to have such confidence in our signees. But, you know, some of it's going to be whether we're going two bigs, Gobert and Favors, whether we're going five smalls with Jarebko at the five and Johnson or Ingles at the four, whether we're going Udo as a backup five. What about Bradley in there as well? So we have the team is 15 deep. I mean, it's awesomely 15 deep. And what's interesting to me about this team is how much does that depth matter? And how many games do you win because of depth? And that, I think, is a huge question mark. Utah Jazz Greek fan says, this is a top five bench in the NBA. That's probably going to be predicated on Donovan Mitchell and on the play of Dante Exum, of how those two guys develop and what they bring off the bench. It's a solid veteran bench, Cephalosa, Jarebko, Udo, all knowing how to play. But is it a top five NBA bench? Somebody better score off it, and they better be able to create some things defensively. From Colby, thanks for all you do. I found the over-unders in the West super interesting. What team do you feel is vastly overrated or underrated? If I was going over, I'd probably go us. If I was going to go under, I'm going to be an idiot and just go San Antonio and blow that again. If I had to go under on someone, I might go under on 48.5 on Minnesota, but they're really good. But I don't know how they're spacing the floor. I might go under on the Lakers at 33.5. Or Dallas at 35. I think Dallas might be 35.5 on Dallas. They might not be very good. If I'm going to go under, I'm probably going under on one of the lesser teams. Does G regret the move after the gutting of future assets and heart of the season, Bradley, Crowder, more importantly, IT? No, I don't think so. I think Gordon, I said this a lot. I think we had multiple items on a teeter-totter. I think Gordon just had his item on a teeter-totter, and his item on the teeter-totter, I think, was going to be national recognition and what he could get in that regard and place in the game. And I think his place in the game will be great. He's a super player, and he works hard. He'll be fine. What can we expect from Rodney Hood this year? I don't know, Tyler. I mean, can he stay? Is the guy who played, you know, we all talk about staying healthy. He played 2 years ago. He played 79 games, played 32 minutes a night. I'll take that year. Effective field goal percentage was league average. I would take his 2015-16 year with three more free throw attempts a game. Okay, so his 2015-16 year, his usage rate was pretty decent. It was 21-22. It probably has to be a little higher. I'd like him to go to the free throw line 5.5 times a game instead of going to the line 2.5 times a game, which would probably get him up to 16 or 17 points a game. He shot 42% from the field, 36 from three. He would be above average offensive player. I think it'd be great. I'll take that from Rodney Hood. Last year, I talked about this on Dunked On today. We got to realize this about Rodney. He wasn't healthy. Okay, Rodney Hood in the paint post All-Star break last year shot 29%. Post All-Star break last year in the paint, Rodney Hood shot 29%. His rim finishing in the last three seasons has gone from 61% to 61% to 56%. His catch and shoot three is at 42%, but his off the bounce was at 29.8%. Can he do what Joe Ingles did, which is take his 29% off the bounce three-point shooting and make it 40%? That would be big. That would be big. His isolation one-on-one drive game is not great. Can he develop that? Probably not. He's not an elite athlete. So in the paint, off the bounce shooting, can he develop those two things are the biggest things that I would look at for Rodney Hood in this upcoming year. I'm worried the Jazz wasted development of key young pieces to appease Hayward. We will continue to make the same mistake a la Ty Corbin playing vets over young core. Like such as what? I have no... Brandon, you're usually pretty good with questions. I have no idea what you're talking about. We worried the Jazz wasted development of key young pieces to appease Hayward. So we didn't develop young pieces to appease Hayward. Like whom? Dante? Coming off an ACL? So you want Dante to have started at point guard all last year instead of George Hill? We would have been terrible. Who are you talking about? Who have I forgotten on our roster that he's talking about? Trey Lyles? Huh. I don't see that. Sorry. Do you believe Joe Johnson will make as much an impact coming off the bench this year? That's a good question. Logic would say no. Logic would say that somehow, you know, logic would say that Joe's got to be getting old at some point. But you know what? 2 years in a row, he shot over 40% from three. The interesting thing about him last year is only 15% of his twos were assisted, 86% of his threes. He was clutch late. He'll probably close games for us again. I think the depth we have should allow us to monitor their minutes and have him be able to have exactly the same impact he had last year. He's in such great physical condition. Logic would say that he should slow down a little bit, but I'm not sure. There are some aspects, by the way, where his incredible series against the Clippers has made us think he was a little better than he was, but he was pretty neat last year. Post-All-Star break, Rudy Gobert put up 17 points on just 6 field goal attempts, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 assists. Could he sustain that over an entire season? Yeah. I don't know if the shooting percentage can be quite as high of 70% field goal percentage with the focus he's going to have, but certainly I think he could do that. Zach Campbell says Dante and I'm not sure what that was. From Dave Danes, 5-year rotation determines which out-of-division conference teams are played only 3 years. Season is NBA stuffer. So positive spin on a tough schedule this year is that next year should be better. Yeah, I mean, we just got I don't think there's any conspiracy theory to what happened. We got screwed. That's all it is. There's no conspiracy theory to it. We just happened to get screwed on it. Any chance Mitchell starts this year? I would think not. Over Rodney Hood and over Ricky Rubio? I mean, I think he's... what I think is going to be really interesting is what position he plays. Does he come in for Rubio and Rodney? Does he play a 1-2 combo? Does he start earning 25 minutes a night? And then where does Dante get minutes if everyone else is getting 30? I think that's what's interesting. If Rodney doesn't stay healthy, what happens? Then he probably gets time. Does Joe Ingles have a rotation sequence where he is suddenly our second primary ball handler and he plays with Donovan Mitchell to quell things and keep him calm? I think that's an interesting possibility. I think it's going to be I'm really geeked and fascinated to watch as Quinn Snyder begins to put all these things together. Are you in the market to buy a house? Are you in the market to possibly sell your house? Well, then let me tell you about a guy who has done amazing work for numerous, numerous Locked On Jazz listeners. Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate is our guy. Devin does fabulous work. Why? Because he envisions real estate as from the heart of a teacher. That's really who he is. And right now, the market is nuts. You need somebody who's really, really well-schooled at what he's doing. And I kind of go back to what I think it was Chad. What was it? Who was it? Who bought the house? Maybe it was Zach Campbell. Who I might have just been on the show right here a minute ago. Zach Campbell, who came from Hawaii, and it was moved back into Bountiful. And it was basically his point of view that Devin's relationship with everyone he interacts with, in this case, the other realtors, were what allowed him to get a house in a really, really busy marketplace. I got Kyle Diener send me a neat little note that says, speaking of ad time, it worked. My wife enrolled in U of U this fall. Because of that, we needed to move. Enter Devin Cash. I've been in my house for about 9 years, and the realtor I used was an old friend of mine, but he has since given up the career. That left us picking a name out of the hat. I gave Devin a call after convincing my wife to trust in Jazz Nation just to see what would come out of it. I've been more than pleasantly pleased. We spent 15 minutes talking about my situation, where we wanted to go, when we were planning on going. Devin listened with genuine care. We spent the next 25 minutes talking basketball and life. Devin built a market comparison analysis for me, and by the end of the next day, which was great, I didn't expect him to put in that sort of effort so quickly. The biggest surprise working with Devin was his personal tact. He was not only planning, we were not planning on moving for at least 6 months. So I was apprehensive on how he'd handle the situation, but he's been great. He's kept in touch, but at no point ever come across as pushy, impatient, or uninterested. It's Devin Cash. He's become the realtor for the Locked On Jazz community. Give him a call at 801-759-1495. I got to talk to Devin. Devin, are we doing season tickets for new for sales again? We did it last year. I'm saying we do it again. Come on, Devin. Help the people out. Help the people out, Devin. 801-759-1495. Last year was two free season tickets. Find out if he's doing it again. I got tech to Devin. I like, he's a good dude. 801-759-1495. Back for a few more questions. Thoughts on starting lineup. Starting lineup, I think, ends up being Rubio, Hood, Ingles, Favors, and Gobert. Closing lineup, I have no idea. Depends on the night, depends on the day, and I think that's what's so interesting about this team. Joe Johnson probably's got to close. Maybe Donovan Mitchell closes. Who knows? Defensively, maybe Cephalosha, and I don't know. Maybe Ingles closes games as your playmaker because he can play, and then that allows you to have Mitchell on the floor because he can defend, but Rubio's pretty awesome defense. I have no idea. The interesting one is far fewer timeouts late in games, so smarter players, better coach teams should be good at closing games. A player like Rubio may become even more advantage. In the final 3 minutes, they're taking you down to two timeouts. You're going to want to leave one of them out there to make sure that you can call it if you need to move, advance the ball. So you're playing the final 3 minutes and only one timeout should make a player like Rubio even more valuable. What do you think will be the next step in Rudy offensively? Okay, so if Rudy's watching this, he's going to be pissed at me. But this is actually interesting to me. I don't want another step out of Rudy offensively. I don't want Rudy shooting 15-footers. I don't want Rudy developing a jump shot. I don't want Rudy ever considering pick and pop. I want Rudy rolling to the rim like Rudy does, and he's been just awesome at it, shooting 70%. As David Smith pointed out earlier, his amazing numbers that he has on the field goal percentage. Why Rudy is developed offensively. He's a major force in the game offensively, and he's absolutely awesome at it. Why do I want him to develop something that keeps him away from the rim? I don't need any offensive development. This is not 1978 anymore. It's not even 1988, and it's not even 1998. I want a rim roller who can dunk, and the next thing I want is if he catches and can't get to the rim, then he can throw it out to a three-point shooter. What are some of the things organization State of Utah can do to remain or attract players? We don't have cred in the league because we're a smaller market. Yeah, we're not. We're going to have to be family friendly. It's what we got. That's our strength. We're good at that. We're not real good with 25-year-old, you know, hip guy. It's not what we are. We're going to have to run a good organization. We're going to have a good coach and a general manager. We're going to have to consistently show that. We're going to have to treat our players very, very well. And we're going to have top-ranked facilities, which we have. We're going to have an elite staff, which we have. And we're going to have to make them believe that they can have a great family experience, be safe, and get good education and value in a family-important environment. That's it. And that's what Dennis has done. He's embraced the positives. I cannot introduce you to Joe Ingles, Matt. If Alex stays, one of these days I'm going to have Joe Ingles and Matt Moon have lunch together. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. If Alex stays at the same health and the current status, how much will it take to dump his salary? If D. Faves has a good year, what's his value in the open market? If D. Faves has a good year and can show he can play center, he'll be very valuable. Alec, I don't know. He's got to show he can stay healthy and he can play. I'm hearing some good things on Alec, though. From Liz, Mitchell has a goal of being first team all defense this year. Is he really that good? It's a hard one to get as a rookie. I love the fact that that's his goal, and we'll see what he can do. I have summer league can make a fool out of a lot of us. I'm big on Donovan Mitchell, but I can make a fool out of myself on this. All right, a few more. We're almost at 30 minutes on a Thursday afternoon. I love it. Do you feel we get any extensions done this year, or will they all go to restricted free agent? I would expect Dante goes restricted free agency, and I kind of think somehow, I don't know who's representing Rodney. I need to know who Rodney Hood's agent is before I can answer that question. If you told me that Rodney Hood's agent was a really good agent in the league with a lot of different clients, then I might think he'd get a deal done. His agent is Travis King, who has Will Barton, Scott Labossiere, who does not have a client bigger than Rodney Hood. He will not get a deal done. No chance. Reading that, I'd say no chance at all. Chris Patrick is his other agent. Rodney Hood is his biggest client by a long shot. No chance. Those guys want to get a max contract for Rodney and make their name. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. That would be my take on that. I apologize to Travis and Chris if they think that was unfair. But let me say this. I don't know Travis King and I don't know Chris Patrick at all. Traditionally, when an agent who has not had a max deal or is trying to establish themselves in their name in the game, they are less likely, they're unwilling to do anything in which could be perceived by future clients as taking an undermarket contract. Rodney might need to take an undermarket contract in the sense that he takes what I talked about earlier, just for the security with a 3-year out, it makes all the sense in the world. But other clients can use that against those two agents to say, look, he didn't get the deal that he could have gotten. You don't want to go there. He undercut. And those two guys, if they're trying to still build a resume, not, and I don't mean this specifically to them, but just in their circumstances, those two guys need the moment. Like, look what I got, Rodney Hood. Now you want to come with me. And so I think that now, on the other end, they might be the two best agents you've ever seen who really get what their client wants and needs, and they understand Rodney and what's best for Rodney, and they do that. And so that, you know, I think that's interesting. Zach Campbell just signed in and said Devin Cash is the business. I tell you. The Jazz will be a defensive powerhouse. Will that carry over on offense? Who is the main offensive contributor going to be? Hood. I think Rodney. I think Donovan Mitchell's going to score a lot. I just don't know who else is going to. That's kind of why I think Rodney, Gobert, and Mitchell are your three scorers on this team. That's a lot to ask out of a rookie, and that's a lot to ask out of Rodney, who has not been more than league average in efficiency in his career. So that's a big ask. Our offense could really struggle. Quinn's going to have if Quinn can get us to be above 20th in the league offensively, maybe even against 25th, I think it'd be pretty good. Does Joel Ballenboy stick on the roster? With O'Neal being guaranteed the 16th deal, he was solid in D-League, but was not too impressive in the Summer League. You know, I don't know, but I would say the premise of your question that Joel Ballenboy better make big strides and have a good camp if he's going to make the NBA roster, which I'm taking as the premise of your question, I think that's fair. I think the Jazz would be willing to eat his one-year contract if somebody is better. Dante more minutes leading up to the playoffs. Mac over Dante in key stretches. Now Mac is gone. Dio over Lyles, both are gone. Well, we didn't give up on Lyles. We loved Donovan Mitchell, and so we. Oh, this is, by the way, this is Brandon's retort to what he meant by young kids not getting times. We didn't give up on Lyles. We loved Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, Brandon, I got to tell you, he says we keep pushing off players in game development. Then when those players leave, we have our young players still lacking experiences. Brandon, I just don't see it that way at all. This is probably not fair, Brandon, but had we played those young guys and Gordon left, I think that you're sending me a message that says that you're pissed off because of the fact that we played the young guys and Gordon didn't believe we were into winning. So I mean, I don't know you. That might not be fair, but anyone with the same last name as Sasan, what can I expect? No, I'm just kidding. So I think that's an unfair call on your part. What are the points per game average range this year? For who? Andy wants for who? Hood 16, Gobert 15, Mitchell 14. That was probably my three. I'm making that crap up. Gobert, Rodney 11, Favors 13, right? Like, or excuse me, Rudy or Rubio 11, Favors 13, something like that. Just Ingles 11. What Ingles average last year? I'm not good at that kind of stuff. What did Joe Ingles average last year? Anybody know? If somebody probably knows off the top of their head, that's kind of awesome. Joe Ingles last year. 7 points, yeah, so nine. Yeah, I think. Sure, I'll go with that for now. Hood, 16. Rudy, 15. Mitchell, 14. Favors, 13. Ricky Rubio, 11, 12, 13. Ingles, 7, 8, 9, something like that. I have no idea on Rubio's assist average because I don't know how we're going to play. Zach Campbell, maybe more work on Rudy's free throws. He was trending up percentage throughout his career. Would he get 70%? I feel like that's the best offensive development he could make. I Agree. Oh, team point per game? 90? 91, 92, 93? I don't know. It depends how slow we play. We're going to have a hard time scoring. And we're going to be great defensively. And it's going to be fascinating. This has been Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Thanks so much to Shamrock Auto Group for their support long time. Go tell Rob I say hi. Go say hi to their crew out there. They're out in Pleasant Grove at 203 North, 2000 West in Pleasant Grove, Utah. And Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate, 801-759-1495, 801-759-1495. Remember, you can tell Google. You can do this. You can go right here, and you can say, where is he? Where are you? Hey, Google, play Locked On Jazz.
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that yet.
Oh, fail. Hey, Google, play the program Locked On NBA. Failed again. Hey, Alexa, play Locked On NBA. Nailed it. I love Alexa. See you guys. Have a great day. Hey, it's me. I'm back. If you're wondering, you have to tell Google to play the podcast. You just do, hey, Google, play the podcast Locked On NBA. See, there. That's how it works. You just do it that way. See you.